Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Views, the podcast. You know what I was thinking about?
What, Dave?
You think it's possible for somebody that's really good at podcasting to record a 45-minute podcast in 20 minutes?
No, man. Not unless you're Elon Musk.
Why don't you not think that's possible? Like, if you talk really fast, mm-hmm. and then in editing, you slow it down times two, do you think you'll be able to make a 45-minute podcast in 20 minutes?
You got somewhere to be?
No, but let's fucking go right now. Let's go really fast.
Okay, David, ready to start the podcast.
Jason's ugly.
David's not sexy.
Dude, this is a good start. All right, roll intro music. Hey, guys, so this is Views Podcast. I'm David. That's Jason.
Hey,
we're a comedy troupe here out in Los Angeles.
What's up? Been a comedy troupe for a while now. I'm 46. David's 23. Where are we with this podcast in terms of your, you know, likes and dislikes?
Of like how much I like it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of for it. I do still think it's a waste of time.
People come to me on the street.
No, the podcast is interesting. It's because Jason and I like talk so much and we're always recording stuff. So like the podcast is the only thing in my life that feels like work, which is crazy to think.
Right.
Because people are like, a podcast feels like work. And I know. I know that sounds insane, but I love making videos so much that like this is the thing that like just doesn't feel like, right. But I do it.
Do you listen? I listen to the podcasts, you know.
I've never listened to one.
You've never listened to one?
No.
Oh, I go back and I listen to all the good little parts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
I haven't heard a podcast that's not mine, I don't think.
Really?
Like, I haven't heard my own podcast and I haven't listened to another podcast.
Hey, you want to go
into snippets of Joe Rogan.
Hey, you want to go into business together?
For what?
I want to go on Shark Tank. That's my goal this year. Get on Shark Tank.
What's your idea?
Oh, my ex-wife has this idea. Marnie, I thought it was pretty good. It's called head foam.
Head foam.
And it's basically like it's a thing you put on your head to listen to podcasts while you go to sleep. Because you know when you put like little earbuds in?
They hurt your ears.
They hurt your ears, yeah.
Oh, so something that like wraps around your head.
Yeah, and like is padded by your ear.
Jay, I think they actually have that.
No, there's no way they have it.
Let me look.
No, I looked it up. I couldn't find anything.
Here's literally a picture of it. They literally have exactly what you said.
What's it called though?
They're called sleep headphones.
Let me see.
That's so fucking crazy. It's literally exactly.
Of course they have everything.
It's exactly what you said, right? Like look at it.
Yeah, that's it. That's literally as I envisioned it.
Yeah, it's like the same color too, right?
1999, that was going to charge like 45. Back to the drawing board. Hey, I just want to go on Shark Tank. That's it, man. I'm just so into it right now. I want to go on there and I want to have a pitch. I want to say, hello, sharks. I just want to say, hello, sharks.
I know. I really want to go on Shark Tank, too.
I love when the pitch is really rehearsed and they're really nervous. That's my favorite. Hey, we were in the bar the other day. David caught on fire.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, that was crazy. So I just got done doing Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
This will be my vlog. So if you guys hear my vlog, pretend like it's the first time. And I was laying back on the bar. Mm-hmm. Like, on the bar, there was a candle there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I fucking smell like something's burning. And like, and I was like, what is going on? And then I look behind me. And my coat is literally like in flames, like behind me, in flames. And I turn to Jason. I'm like, Jason, I'm on fire. And Jason looks at me and goes, yeah, you are. And I go, no. I've caught flames. So I took the jacket off and we had to fucking stomp it out in the bar. And then the people came over at the bar and they're like, what's going on? And yeah, that's crazy. I've never, that is crazy to me that candle was in that spot.
Yeah.
And when I started leaning on the wall, I looked at the candle and I was like, that's weird. Like if I had longer hair, I'd definitely catch fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason.
In a New York City club packed with people too. Such a fire hazard.
So dangerous.
Yeah.
So dangerous.
Yeah.
And fucking I caught on fire.
So David, you're on Jimmy Fallon this week. I was very proud of you. I was in the audience.
Thank
I watched
you.
The whole thing.
Thanks
David got off stage. He was nervous about his performance, but Everyone thought he was really good.
Yeah, that was really nerve-wracking.
How was it?
I wasn't even thinking about it that much.
Yeah.
But then when I got there, and when I was in my green room, and the TV was on, and that's when, like, the Jimmy Fallon intro played. You know, like how he's walking around New York City and like, and it goes, tonight's guest, David Dobrik. So fucking crazy to see. Yeah. So crazy.
Yeah.
And that's when it got like really, really real. Like I started tearing up. It seemed like I was in a movie. Like, you know, like I hate describing it this way, but it literally felt like a fucking dream. It felt like I was a character in a movie and the character in the movie fell asleep and had a dream about being on Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
Like that's exactly what it felt like. Like it was crazy. And then, and then Martin Short went on before me. And then I was waiting backstage to go on next, right after him. And I don't know if I made this up. I don't know if he said this. I think he said this to me. He said something to me as he walked off stage. And I'm pretty sure it was this. Or maybe I just completely just fabricated this. He walked off and he pats me on the back and he goes, knock him dead, kid. It's the most cliche thing to say. It was so great. And that just made me 10 times nervous. I was like, holy fuck. It's literally. And then it's so crazy because when you're on the show and like the cameras are on you, like I always get in my head and like, I'm like, he's interviewing me or whatever.
Right.
And then I'm like, if I stop, like in my head, I'm thinking like, if I stop talking right now, like it's going to be on television. Like they're not just going to cut that out. Like if I just freeze right now.
Yeah.
Like it will, like everyone's watching me. Like, do you have that moment? Like when you're ever doing anything?
I've never been
like,
on late night TV, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, do you ever have that moment? Like when you're in front of cameras, you're like, if I stop right now, like at the Teen Choice Awards, I thought about that the entire time. I was like, if I just stop talking,
right,
it's just going to be awkward.
Yeah.
And that's
all I could think
about sitting next to Jimmy. I was like, this is all up to me here. Like if I just stop talking, it's over. I don't know. Regardless, I had fun. Jimmy's the fucking nicest human being.
He seemed to like really, I don't know, really like you. You guys are like good together. You're both kind of goofy, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're like younger version of him.
Everyone always says that like every time I collab with a celebrity, they're like, that person really liked you. But I'm like,
you're a likable dude.
I know, but bro, like.
What, bro?
Like, what is he going to seem like he doesn't like me? You know what I mean? Like his job is to interview and talk to people. Like he's not going to seem like he doesn't like me.
No, but what he did do is like, he definitely like gave you respect, which is like really nice. He was
100%.
Because you started out, you came out and it was like, I don't know what happened. I can't remember. But I remember one of the first things he said was like, and you have 15 million followers on YouTube. And everybody cheered. Which was like really nice of him to say. And then he brought up the thing, how you married my mom. And that was cool because it was like, you could tell that as a comedian, like he respected that bit in itself. The fact that you married somebody.
He was very sweet. Cool. And backstage, he was really, really nice. Which I appreciate a lot.
That's awesome. I need hip replacement surgery.
I heard, man. Congrats.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's a great accomplishment. Every 46-year-old wants
That's
to have
really
that.
Sick.
Yeah.
What kind are you getting?
I'm getting a Jaguar.
Jaguar hip.
Yeah. Tesla. I was looking at the Mercedes. It was a little too expensive, but I like the Jaguars. It's a good feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is it? What does a new hip entail?
So like,
will you be able to kick harder, or will it just bring you up to par? You know what I mean?
Just up to par.
Okay.
You know, I've been limping for the last few months.
I have noticed.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
You've been great about it too. You don't bring it up too much.
Never.
Yeah, because it does bother me. Like I told you one time.
I don't bring it up to you.
Huh?
Natalie and I always snicker about it on the side.
Oh, what do you say?
Look at him. Just that. No.
I was buried alive two weeks ago, bro. You know what the doc told me?
Huh.
He goes, hey, maybe you'll be buried alive anymore and your hip will feel better.
Did you tell him they got buried alive?
Yeah, you know, he saw it. He goes, I know the kind of stuff you're doing. And I go, whoa, what do you mean? He goes, in the backyard, surprising your friend at the picnic.
Yeah, we buried Jason in my backyard the other day. But okay, so you're getting a new hip, which is actually pretty sad, but I'm trying to make up.
Well, I've been limping a lot, and it's been bumming me out. Like, when I just even see people, they're like, you're limping. Like, what's wrong? And then you have to explain.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's the worst.
My friend who has a staph infection,
or
who got one, he's my age, and he limps, right? Alex, my friend from my hometown. And that's the worst, is having to explain it to every single person.
The worst.
Dude, what's wrong? You're limping. And it's like, especially when we go out, it's like, and then I have to go, oh, I got a staph infection. And then you know what I mean? It's the same conversation over and over again.
It's the worst. So anyway, so then they get me in there, and I'm like, my hip's bothering me, and they take an x-ray, and the guy's like, oh, and you could just clearly see. So on your hip, there's like basically like rubber in the socket. I don't know what it's not rubber, but it's basically like a rubber thing that allows your hip to. So I'm missing half of mine. Wow. So he's like, yeah, this is not good. He's like, you're going to need surgery. He's like, there is one thing we could try. It's really expensive. We could try stem cells. And he's like, and I think you're a good candidate for that. So then yesterday they shot me. I was prepped for like 2 weeks for these shots. I had some other shots done, some PRP. They shot my own blood in my ass, like six different shots.
Sorry, this is a little bit sidetracked, but have you ever got that shot in your ass that like you can't walk? I don't know if it's like a shot for the flu or I don't know what it is. Penicillin?
Penicillin shot?
Is it a penicillin shot?
I don't know. I had all that dumb when I was like two. I had all that
dumb. Yeah. I was like four.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I got it. And I
couldn't vlog that day.
I couldn't vlog that day. No, but I was at my grandma's in Slovakia.
Really?
And I got the shot and I was just like, I was laying on my stomach with my ass just like hanging in the air like it was just fucking beat and I needed to air it out. That was like one of the most painful shots. Sorry, man. I don't mean to take away from your
No, I know you don't give surgery. A fuck. It's fine.
Yo, you know, your hip surgery reminds me of when I was two.
When I told David I needed hip surgery, all he said was, how long are you going to be out for?
Sounds like a good thing. Like, you know what I mean?
No, it doesn't, David.
No.
I can't run. I can't jog anymore. I'm going to be a fat fuck for the rest of my life. You know, it's the only way I lose weight is when I would like jog.
Here's
on
the thing. Jogging. Why I think it's a good thing is because you have a problem and now you have identified the solution.
Okay, well, so, that's a good way to think.
And we've already all known about your problem, that you limp, right? So now you tell me you need hip surgery is almost like going, hey, Dave, they found a cure.
I mean, we'll see. So anyways, they shot these stem cells in, and I'll know in a month if it takes or not. So it's supposed to like grow. It's in baby umbilical cords.
But you said the chances of you not getting hip surgery is like 80 to 20, right?
It's 80-20. I'm going to not need it.
I'm proud of you.
I told him, I said, I don't expect this to work at all. And he was like, come on, man.
Do you have a cool doctor?
Huh?
Do you have a cool doctor?
Yeah, really cool. He's the best. He lets me film. He's like, if you want to vlog this. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, turn it on.
Is he okay with being on camera?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he loves it. Actually, he gave me the shots the first time.
If you want to vlog this.
And then
Doc, you sure? This is open heart surgery. Yeah, go for it.
Well, he gave me the shots the first time, and he's like, and I didn't film it. He's like, you should have filmed. I was like, oh, I didn't know whether to ask. And then I came back the next day and I walked in and everybody in the office was like, oh, today's the big day. Today's the big day. And I'm like, why? Because I'm getting stem cells. There's no, Garrett's going to be on camera. He's really nervous. He's been preparing all day to be in your vlog.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Is the vlog up now?
No, it hasn't been edited yet. Oh. I shot some of that. He's also talking about giving me testosterone. He's going to put a testosterone cube in my ass.
Testosterone cube?
Yeah.
Why is everything in your ass?
I don't know. It's a good question.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I had to call a therapist the other day.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Yeah, my mom was like, call this therapist. Tell her about everything you're going through. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Where was this therapist?
I don't know.
BetterHelp?
My mom knows her. I have no idea. But she was like, tell her about all your traumas. And yeah. I was like, what? I was like, I've never experienced a trauma. Like, I would have called like the therapist if I was going through trauma. And she's like, no, you've definitely experienced a trauma. There's no way you turned out the way you did without a trauma. And I was like, are you being serious right now? And she was being dead serious on the phone. Like, that wasn't a joke. Yeah. She's like, no, we need to find out what happened. And I was like, what are you talking about? What happened? So I was on the phone with the therapist for like 45 minutes. And I was listing literally everything that happened to me that I can remember.
I would have paid top dollar to hear that call.
Oh my God. Dude, I can tell you right now.
Tell me everything. Please. What was the therapist like?
She was super chill. She was just like,
tell me
everything that happened. And I was like, honest. I was like, honestly, nothing happened that's that traumatic. Like, my grandpa passed away. And then she was like, when did he pass away? Were you close? I was like, I guess. I mean, not really. And then I don't know. I just told her things. I was like, I got pantsed once when I was like eight years old. My dad pantsed me on a baseball field and he pulled my underwear down with it. But it was just my mom and my dad that saw. So it was more traumatic for my parents than it was for me. So that was like the worst thing I could come up with.
What did the therapist say after she said you got pantsed? Did she try to make any connections here? Or?
Yeah, she was like, how embarrassed were you? I don't know. It's not real. I don't know. And it almost,
you mean it's not real, David? It is 100% real.
No, bro.
Therapy, psychotherapy, traumatic incidents that happen. Things that...
No, everything I said, she was like, and then how did you feel afterwards? I was like, I don't know. I fucking cried for a little bit. And then I forgot about it. Now it's a funny story.
Oh, I see who's here. It's Tough Guy David.
It's not
Ladies
tough
and gentlemen
guy, David.
Of the Views podcast, no. Let me introduce who's here tonight. It's David the Tough Guy.
No, it's not.
David that won't go near his emotions.
You fucking no.
Yes.
No.
David.
I would totally open up.
Bro,
you can
do a lot of things, but you can't discredit therapy.
I'm not discrediting therapy. Go ahead. I'm not discrediting therapy at all. I think therapy's so important for a lot of people, but
sure.
I think I probably need therapy just to talk through things.
Right.
But I don't have any traumas. Like, I've been very lucky where I don't have anything that like has completely fucked the path of my entire life up. Like, I don't have a moment that like I'm like living in fear of. Like, that's
well, what about being put on the airplane when you were five?
Yeah,
to come to this country.
That was terrifying, but I was five. What do you fucking mean?
And you don't think that was traumatic for you?
What does that mean? See, what you're doing right now is like you're like almost trying to you're almost trying to convince me that it was traumatic. I never think about it.
Oh, I guarantee you. I guarantee you anyone who lives in a weird ass country like Slovakia.
Oh, fuck you.
No, it's a fine country. But it's all you know. And then to just be put on an airplane and then to come to America and be like, what the fuck is this? In the middle of Chicago.
So
it's traumatic.
Jason's talking about when I was six. My parents already lived in America, and I flew over by myself to meet them. But I never refer to that story as anything but cool. The only reason I ever tell that story now is because I think it was cool that I flew here by myself. There's not an ounce of traumatic experience I have from that moment. Like, what?
Well, I have so many traumatic experiences from my childhood.
Okay, give me one.
Okay, one time I was at school. I ripped my pants. I came home. My father was picking me up from school, and he hit me in the fucking face because I had ripped my pants. Traumatic. Took me for years to shake that. Another time, I looked at my father's Playboys, and he caught me, hit me, like fucking really traumatic. Shit like that. Like all kinds of stuff. The landlord coming to my mother's house and being like, you guys need to be out tomorrow. Having to leave in the middle of the night, go sleep at my aunt's house. Just shit like that. We all have traumatic moments that shape us.
Maybe I think traumatic is such a heavy word. Yeah, I have a bunch of those. But that's not traumatic.
Okay, but like, there must have been things.
Traumatic is like someone's getting fucking stabbed 15 times in front of me.
No,
that's
it's not.
Traumatic.
As a child, little things are very traumatic.
Well, when I think
getting
of traumatic,
pantsed is traumatic.
I think of like a war veteran like having PTSD. Like, that's traumatic to me.
Yeah, but you have to remember as a child, a child, anything is traumatic. If you raise your voice in front of a child, that's traumatic.
Like, I mean, sure, I have a million of those stories.
The other day I got into a fight with Marnie on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. She wanted me to call a friend to get them to do something. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And she had asked a bunch of times. And I always just say whatever to Marnie. I'm always just like, yes, yes. Like, we get along really good. We haven't had a fight in a while. And I was on the phone and I raised my voice. I said, no. I said, absolutely not. I'm not doing it. And stop pushing it like that. And Charlie heard the thing and she started crying. She heard me. And then I got off the phone and I was like, I'm so sorry you heard that. I wasn't like unhinged. I wasn't like, don't fucking tell me. It wasn't like that.
Oh, okay.
No, not at all. But she started crying.
Well, I get
that. And even that little thing right there was
traumatic.
Yeah, that's traumatic for her to hear, just hearing us fight.
Okay, well, I wish someone explained that to me going into this, what traumatic is.
Well, what did your mother say?
I don't know, bro.
David, it's obvious you're in the war.
When I think...
And you have to talk to these therapists about being in Vietnam.
You've definitely been in the war. Mom, I haven't been in the war.
No, no, you have. It must have been tough in Saigon with your troops and the napalm.
No, I don't know. I really imagined it like traumatic. I think of like a robber came in and tied up my family and threatened to kill us one by one. Like, that's what I think is traumatic.
Oh, yeah.
Like shit you see on Criminal Minds.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's what I was looking for. I was like, that's never happened to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Someone should have explained to the definition of
traumatic. Yeah, like, sure, I've cried a couple times over shit.
Okay, well, now that you know the definition, do you have any traumatic moments?
Yeah, there's a couple traumatic moments, I guess. But
yeah, I don't want to share them here on this podcast.
No, I mean, there was one time my dad and I got into a fight.
Yeah.
And he got really mad and he threw a garbage bin. Like a garbage bin on the floor.
Yeah.
And it like cracked.
Yeah.
I think I got physical at the time too. Like I pushed him and stuff.
Sure.
Which is like pretty big no-no to do with your parents.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's traumatic.
Yeah. But that was not like it was bad for like a week and it was pretty awkward for a couple days. But like we got over it and like I got over it. Like I don't hold that moment over anybody's head.
But this amazing drive that you have, right?
Yeah.
But you have like an insane drive. Like you will shoot the vlog until 5 a.m.
Okay.
Like all that stuff. Have you ever tried to like think about where that comes from?
Yeah. Really wanting to do this? What do you mean? Like this is.
I don't know. Did something happen as a child? Like seeing your parents struggle?
I feel like when it comes to drive, I'm pretty biased because I have a pretty fucking cool job. So, you know, put me working in the back room at FedEx and let's see if I have drive then. You know what I mean? I have drive because I'm fucking lucky enough to literally have the coolest job in the world. I don't think there is a job better than what I'm doing.
No, I don't
currently.
Think so. I think if you worked at FedEx, you'd do really well at FedEx.
I don't know. Well, yes. The answer is yes, I would. But I think...
I'd fucking kill it.
I'd fucking destroy it.
I love when Ilya says that. David has a friend, Ilya, and if you ask him anything, he'll be like, oh, I might fucking kill it, hands down. Like, no problem.
Yeah, Ilya has
anything I put my mind to, I'd kill it. In that Chicago accent.
That's my friend, Ilya. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think my drive is because of something traumatic. I've always
Any
been
other
like that.
Traumatic moments. What about with like girls and stuff? What about I? For instance, like I've always tried to make the connection from those Playboys for like me and sex and girls. I'm like, did that trigger something in my mind? Like, oh, sex is bad.
Huh? I don't know.
I've never been able to really uncover it.
I guess all I can think about is when I think of like my first thoughts of sex is when my friend brought over. We were sitting in my digital film class and we were in the back, and my friend showed me his phone, and he was watching porn with like three other kids, and it's like out of a movie. Like I'm just like, what are you guys doing? And he's just like, we're watching porn. And I was like, you can't be doing that. And I was like, fucking so nervous. That same friend actually jerked off in my fifth grade class in the middle of science class. He jerked off and he finished on his hand and he showed us. Isn't that fucking disgusting? I think it was like seventh grade. I don't know what it was, but how fucking disgusting is that? That was the same friend. Maybe that was like my first sexually traumatic experience, just fucking witnessing that friend.
Interesting.
There's a guy we went camping once. I think I told the story, but he. In the middle of the night, we stayed there for like 2 nights. In the middle of the night, I don't know how old we were. I think it was eighth grade again or seventh grade. And in the middle of the night, he would scream out. It was a room full of bunk beds, no teachers, just kids in a cabin, all eighth graders and like 16 kids. And the bunk beds were right next to each other. It was just one big room. And in the middle of the night, when everyone was sleeping, he'd scream, "Midnight service!" And he'd,
oh,
and
yeah,
he'd
you've
get,
told me this.
Yeah, and he'd get naked or in his underwear, and he'd run into everybody's bunk. And he'd like hump them, and it was fucking hysterical until he came to your bunk. Like it was great because you were like you're laughing at everybody. You're like, oh fuck, he's fun. Look at Pat getting humped by Felipe. but then Felipe would come to your bunk, and you'd be like, fuck, no, and like you know, and you'd have all the boys like laughing hysterically,
sure.
And then he came over, and the boys would be like, get the fuck off me, what the fuck are you doing? And then he'd leave. And then they'd slowly go, okay, there he goes again. So, yeah, no, that was that was a fun moment.
I've heard that story before, and it warrants a second telling.
Yeah.
That is fun.
It is a really fun story. I remember when I first found out the F word was bad. Oh, my God. I was standing in line. I think I was in the second grade.
Right.
And one kid said it in front of me. And I've never heard of it before. And I asked the people in the back, like the people standing behind me, I was like, what did he say? Because the teachers were coming over. I was like, what did he say? What did he say? And they were like, he said a bad word. And I was like, what word is it? And then the guy goes, it rhymes with luck. And I was like, okay. I was like, duck, suck, buck, truck, fuck. And I said, fuck. And they go, oh. That's when I found out fuck was bad. That was fucking. And I remember that so vividly.
So how did you fill out the 45 minutes?
Of what?
Of this phone call you had to have.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I'm surprised you even agreed to it.
Yeah, my mom really wanted me to do it. I just did it.
How did you leave it with her? Call you back sometime?
She was just like, if you think of anything else, email me. And I was like, okay. Maybe after this podcast, I can tell her about the time I got humped at camp.
Maybe.
Maybe that was the moment she was looking for. Maybe it was, okay. Oh, yeah. Now that I think of it, midnight service. That was it. That's what makes me so determined to be a good YouTuber is because I was humped at camp. I went to Ohio State. Yeah. Like a college show, like I do college Q&As. And later that night, we went out to like a party, and we got to like a frat house. This is my fucking favorite thing in the world, is like getting turned on at frat parties. Like I've told you about this. We got to a frat party, and one of the frat guys, like all the other guys are like excited. They're like, yeah, let's go, let's party, David. Let's like fucking do something crazy. And then one frat guy walks up, and he goes, no. Who do you know here? Literally, it's fucking out of a movie, man. Why do they all say the same fucking line?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. We were just in the area. And he goes, where are you from? And I go, L.A. And he goes, dip. And I go, what? He goes, dip. Get out of here. And we fucking turned around and left. How fucking crazy is that? Dip. Get out of here.
I mean, the whole setup is yeah. You know, that's what's going to happen. They've been told not to let anyone in.
I know.
And they have their orders from their older frat brothers.
I know.
So... And yet you still keep going back.
It's the best.
Getting
it's
turned down.
It's the fucking best. Because there's something.
It's like you go to a bank, you know, and you'd be so like, give me money. And they're like, no.
You know what's so interesting about frat guys? Is they don't realize that they're being crazy. Like my closest friend, Alex, yeah. The guy who limps.
Yeah.
Right? He's a frat guy. And like I'll explain to him. I'll be like, you know, frat guys are sometimes crazy. Like the way you guys follow rules like is not even like. It's not admirable at all. It's just kind of weird. It's almost like...
It's like the military.
Yeah, like there's nothing like cool about it. It's just like kind of gross and scary.
It's kind of just really exclusive and
gross.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get it. He was like, what are you talking about? And I've been his friend forever. And I was like... And he's like getting offended that I'm like talking about fraternities in that way. He's like, what the fuck are you saying, David? And I was like, wow, you drank the Kool-Aid too.
I remember when I moved into college... we were all sitting around talking about, and all the frats came around, and they were like, if you want to come tomorrow, come to so-and-so and so-and-so. And I remember the two friends that I made, we made this, like, fucking decision, like, fuck that. Like, we don't need fucking bot friends. We're going to chill and be ourselves. And we were like, yeah, man. And then my roommate, he was this guy from Ohio, and he was like, I'm joining the frat. He's like, you're crazy. He's like, the fucking best parties. He's like, this is the best parties. You guys are going to miss out. You're going to... We fucking losers sitting here. So we were like, yeah, okay, that's cool, whatever. And so then I hung out with my friends, like smoked pot. I had these two really good friends, and we just hung out. I'm still friends with them now. Jeff, my friend Jeff, lives down the street. And I remember he came back, and he was fucking, had fucking just shit all over him and piss all over him. And he was just like.
The guy that went to the frat?
Yeah, and then he was my roommate freshman year. Then they would come get him in the middle of the night. They hazed the fuck out of him.
What would they do to haze him?
I remember he came home like covered in shit once. I don't remember what else they did to him, but he was just like fucking brutalized for like a week.
I've heard of like different hazing things.
The worst.
Have you heard of like the elephant walk?
No, what's that?
You don't know the elephant walk? Uh-huh. It's where you have like all the freshmen get on the floor, they're naked.
Yeah.
And they grab each other's penises.
Ugh.
And they're on their hands and knees.
Ugh.
And they're grabbing each other's penises and they're walking like in a circle basically. And they're like all attached.
What do frats do now? Because they can't do any of that stuff anymore.
I don't get it. I never got the, hey, touch that dude's dick. I didn't understand that premise. Like, it's a very weird concept. I get it, though. I get, like, it makes you closer, right? Like, if you've been through a traumatic experience. Like, you know, like the elephant walk. But it is very, it's a very weird thing. But there's frats are definitely cool in their own way. But there's some dudes that are in frats that are just like...
We've had some good frat parties that we've gone to,
100%.
Right? Yeah.
But it's just there's some specific guys in some specific places that are like overdosing on confidence.
Yeah.
That's just a little bit... It's a little bit too much. Todd's here. Todd, say hi.
Hi, guys.
We were at a nightclub and we were playing Heads Up. You know that game that you play with your phone?
Yeah, sure.
And it's a catchphrase, basically. Mm-hmm. And one of the things was like... It was like a movie. It was like... I don't know. It was like Wolf of Wall Street or something.
No, it was a Johnny Cash movie.
It was Walk the Line. Yeah. And Todd was really excited when he got the answer and started fucking jumping up and down and just ripped ass. And and the entire fucking... Our entire section just completely cleared out because he farted so
hard. At the nightclub?
And you know, I know it's Todd. I know it's Todd.
Because, of course you know it's Todd.
Because one, it smells... There's a very specific smell to it. And Todd is like he was smiling the entire time. And then when he lets out the fart... He looks at you like an insecure like kid who just like accidentally spilled paint all over the couch. And then he like goes back to smiling. And I called out Todd on farting and he was really embarrassed.
Yeah.
What happened? I slowly started walking away like around the table. And then he called me out.
It's so weird when you fart. How can you not control your farts?
I was holding it for a while and I was jumping up and down.
Sure.
And so it kind of just like squirted out.
Is there any kind of passive aggressiveness going on when you fart?
Do you do that on purpose? Do you do that on purpose to fuck with people?
The fart?
Yeah.
Not all the time. Sometimes.
Because sometimes it's weird. It's like the farts are walking out of your asshole. Like normally you can, normally people can like close the door and make sure they stay in. But you just have like, it's like wedged open. Like there's something going on.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I'll walk and fart. I'll crop this a little bit.
That's fine. But when we're at a table at a club, it's a little bit confusing.
Todd's farts are so potent that there's no doubt whose fart it is.
Exactly.
When Todd farts.
That's exactly what it is.
They're so memorable. And I actually look forward to them. I used to really dislike them.
Yeah.
And now when he farts, I'm like, it's like there going home.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, yes. I'm like, this is impressive. I don't love the smell.
It's a nostalgic smell for you.
But I feel safe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Guys, Corinna's here. She's Todd's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, really funny hanging out with the two of them in New York.
Oh my
Todd
God. It's the best. Todd and Corinna are such
what a blast.
Oh, like they have so much like built up anger.
They have so much built up history.
Don't.
History, yeah.
Yeah, they have so much history that everything's funny.
And a new thing comes out every day.
Mm-hmm.
And Corinna says something and Todd goes, "This is why I fucking hated dating."
And
then Corinna goes, "You suck too, Todd." Corinna, you told me a funny story that your dad
I want to tell it good. My dad tells it the best.
No, you told it great.
So I've known my stepmom. My stepmom's been in my life for like since I was two. My stepmom went to my dad and was like, "Have you seen my lotion?" And he's like, "No, I haven't seen your lotion." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "I've been looking all over for it. I don't know where it is." And then she's like, "You know," he's like, "Actually, now that I think about it, the boys, my brothers, are at the age where they're probably using the lotion."
Jerking off, Jason.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And she's like, "Oh, okay. Like," and he goes, "Why don't you get a nice bottle for yourself and get like some shitty stuff just to put on the back of the toilet so that they have something that's like not your nice whatever." So she's like puts the shitty stuff on the back of the toilet. And a couple weeks go by. And one day she's like, "Jared," this is my dad's name. She's like, "Jared, have you seen my tanning lotion?" He's like, "No, like haven't seen your tanning lotion." They carries on. And he notices my brother's hands. And he's like, "I think I know where your tanning lotion went." She's like, "Where?" And he's like, go look out in the living room. And she looks at my brother's hands and they're just like black.
That's the worst.
And she goes to my dad, she goes, "If that's what his hands look like, what does his penis look like?"
That's so gross. Could you imagine being fucking caught like that? Yeah, you were telling us the other day that Todd, when you guys dated, Todd and your relatives would get along really well.
It was fun.
My family actually really liked Todd. My dad was drunk out of his mind, like, "Yeah, he's a great guy. Just give him a chance."
Yeah, like, Todd seems like a guy.
My dad was like blacked out. They were like dry humping each other, like grinding on each other on the dance floor.
Wait, your dad was
sandwiching people together. It was like fucking crazy.
Your dad was saying, "Give Todd a chance."
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Your mother used to give me shit for getting blackout drunk. It's no big deal.
No, like literally, no. He doesn't really like drink like that often. But they were like fucking damn near dry humping each other, my dad and Todd.
That's amazing. Well, now that both of you are here together, do you guys have anything to confess to each other that maybe you did during the relationship?
Like, what did your parents
like maybe you like you jerked off on her pillow when she was in the bathroom or something weird like that?
Nothing to confess, but an embarrassing story would be I left a skid mark on her sheets.
Oh boy.
when she was.
You denied that.
That asshole just keeps coming up. Wherever
you denied
you
go. It.
No, I thought we discussed this.
Todd, you haven't. Literally,
wait,
like,
no, he did.
Todd's asshole is crazy.
Like, left a skid mark on my bed, and I was like, Todd, did you leave a skid mark on my bed? And he denied it.
And
you
what
denied,
was it?
You know you denied
how
it.
How big was the skid mark?
You're going to tell a beautiful girl that
I'm like, how the fuck else is there just
bed.
A shit stain on my white bed?
How
I don't
big
know
was
where
the shit stain?
Next time, bro,
I mean,
say
it
it's M&M's.
Like
6 inches?
No, but it was just like, I knew it was him. Like, I don't even know why I asked, because I was just like, how else would there just be like
did
a
you
big shit stain
did
on
did you
there?
Smell it? Like, how did you?
Yeah, I think I eventually smelled it because I was like, what is it? I need to know. And it was like shit. I'm like,
and
what
Todd,
did
you
do?
Denied that there was a skid
I don't remember denying it. I just remember her telling me.
No, I think you denied like, it for a while, and then you.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was
M&M's.
Naked.
Were
was
you
so
guys having sex?
Why was I naked?
Were you guys having sex, or were you just sliding off the bed?
I think we had sex, and I slid off the bed.
I don't know.
Todd, that's pretty fucking crazy.
That's embarrassing.
What is with your butthole, actually?
It's fine now.
No, it's not.
When I eat certain, no, you know what happened?
Yo, bro.
You took me to fucking Qdoba.
Yeah, we went to Qdoba.
Ohio State.
There wasn't lactose, a Chipotle. The Chipotle was closed.
I think I'm lactose intolerant after like eating that
lie.
Fucking queso.
Yeah.
Listen,
at Qdoba, I was shitting my pants all day.
Yeah, we went to a Mexican restaurant and fucking Todd was like not feeling it after. He had like the worst stomach ache.
We stopped by this bar to like.
You're definitely lactose, by the way.
I think so, yeah. To check out this bar, we're going to go after whatever David was doing. And it was the shittiest, dingiest bar. And I run upstairs and this toilet is like half the size of a normal toilet, and there's like no door to the bathroom, so I just pull my pants down, full diarrhea.
Oh my god. And the entire trip Natalie comes up to me and she goes, Todd has been trying to convince me that this Mexican food is fucking up my stomach when I know it's not, and he's the only one that's having diarrhea right now. Todd like kept coming up to all of us and being like, you're feeling it too, right? You're feeling it too? Like, it's fucking with your insides too? It's like, no, Todd. And Todd would have to go, like, when we got to our hotel room, he'd have to go change his pants and, like, shower his undercarriage because it was just so, it got
Ew,
so moist down
why
there.
Why did you say undercarriage?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know how to make
word.
It, like, sound
yeah, undercarriage is the right word.
Thank you.
I know, but it's, like, kind of like, he showered
it's
his
very ladylike, his undercarriage. But yeah.
And by the way, I was just like messing around, trying to be sarcastic, trying to distract myself from the pain I was going through. Like, hey, how's your stomach? Is it fucked up too from that shitty Mexican food?
Sure. No, I understand you're trying to distract yourself.
I went to the Bahamas for my birthday with my boyfriend. And
boyfriend?
Which one?
And I like to gamble a lot. So my boyfriend, his best friend, and his girlfriend all went up to a bar in the hotel and I went and gambled. And they were drinking and we had just eaten like a really big dinner, like a lot of seafood, everything like that. I go back to the room. They come up to me and they're like, I need to tell you something. And I'm like, oh God. Like, and he goes, I was upstairs and I felt like I had to shit really bad. And so I was like, you know, I'm just going to go back to the hotel room because I'm like comfortable, like, you know, shitting in the hotel room. And he said, I got off the elevator and it was either I'm shitting my pants or I'm shitting in the stairwell. Mm. And I shit in the stairwell. And I'm like, no, you didn't.
No.
Like, you didn't shit in the stairwell of this fucking nice-ass hotel we got. Like, we paid literally, like, thousands for this room.
No.
Like, there's no way. And the right, mind you, right next to the stairwell was my mom's room. He was like, I was literally contemplating, like, banging on the door and, like, shitting there. He's like, because the hallway was so long to our room.
Your boyfriend shat in...
Listen.
Karina, what is with you and all the men
know.
In your life
I don't
that
know.
They have to shit well, everywhere?
So he's like... The hallways were really long. We were all the way at the end of the hallway. And he's like, I had to make a decision. It was like literally one of those shits where you're literally shitting your pants or you have to go right there and then. So he was like, I went in the stairwell and I shit. And he was telling me the story. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, you, there's no way you shit in the stairwell. Like, this is like something in a movie. Like, this just didn't happen. So he's like,
so I grabbed my vlog camera.
So he took me and our other friends and we go and lo and behold, there's a fucking huge shit in the fucking stairwell. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, we're going to get kicked out. Like, There's cameras all over this hotel. Like, you have to clean this up. Like, we're going to get kicked out. And he's like, I can't clean it up. Like, I'll puke. Like, I can't do it. And I made the decision to clean up his shit.
No.
I was like, I can't. Like, I just can't. Like, it was in the like.
Good for you, Corinna.
You cleaned up your boyfriend's shit in a hotel.
Dude.
Points for you.
You know, you would think, you would be like, oh, I'd rather it be cold than warm, right? You would think that. It was like cold, mushy, and I was like, I wish it was warm. I wish it would have been warm.
Corinna,
that's
better.
Crazy.
Coldest,
look at Todd's face right
mushiest.
Now. Is this worse than hearing that he has sex with her?
You did what with this shit?
How could you?
I left it on your bed and you got mad. You're handling it.
I really lost a good one, huh? She
cleaned up. Corinna, you got some serious
shit.
Points for cleaning up your
boyfriend's shit. Yeah, he should go right to Cartier.
It was something else. I didn't believe him though. Like when he was like, "I shit in the stairwell." I was like, "There's no way." Like, how did you not make it?
Where did
room?
You put the poop after you cleaned it up? Just in the toilet?
Oh, that's the next part.
Where did you scoop it into a bag?
Well, it was like cleaning up dog shit, like I normally do with Carl. I scooped it up. I put it in a bag. Well, mind you, it smells in there because there's shit that's been in there for the last 30 minutes. We lock ourselves in the stairwell.
With the bag of shit.
I'm carrying a bag of shit down the stairwell.
Human shit.
Like carrying it through the hotel, like trying to find a trash can to stick it in. We finally like got off on a certain floor because that was unlocked. And then like the next day we're having like a conversation with this guy in the elevator and he gets off on that floor and we're just like, I wonder if like that fucking floor smells like
fucking
complete
well,
shit.
Corinna, that's probably the coolest thing you've ever done.
Yeah.
I took a shit in Dave's bathroom this morning.
Oh, did he like yell at you?
No, he wasn't home yet.
The other day we were at Stout. I thought this was really funny. The other day we were at Stout and there was like six of us. And Stout's like a pretty decent sized restaurant. And someone ordered us drinks. They ordered all of us a beer. And we're like, who did this? We want to thank them because, you know, there's a lot of us. You bought six of us beer. It costs a lot of money. So we want to say thank you. But she was like, it's an anonymous person. We don't want to tell you. They don't want to be named. Sure. So we went back and we wanted to send them a beer back. But then she's like, then you're going to know who sent it if I deliver beers to them. So we bought the entire restaurant beers. And
how many people were in there?
It was full. It was full. Yeah, it was like a full day.
So like
probably like 40 to 50. Yeah, 40 to 50.
They all drank the beers? Were they all confused?
They were all confused, and it was really cool because for a moment everyone like held up their beers, and they were all like, "Thank you, anonymous people!" Yeah. And like we held up our beers too, like really saying cool. Thank you. And then the guy who bought us the beer came up to us and goes, "You motherfuckers one up me." Yeah, it was that was a really fun time. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. This has been a Views podcast. I'm David. That's Jason. Jason, anything to plug real quick? Go.
My Instagram.
Yeah, Corinna's Instagram is really great. Go check it out.
Thank you.
Guys, everyone comment on Corinna's Instagram saying, thank you for cleaning up the shit. Just give her a little bit
you
of a thank
you. That?
Just because you cleaned up your boyfriend's shit, you deserve it.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll see you guys later. This has been a Views podcast. My name is Jeff. Bye.